Welcome to another edition of the True North Country Comics Podcast, dedicated to promote Canadian comic book creators and supporters. I'm John Swinimer. On this episode, I chat with David A. Bishop about his Kickstarter project, Of Stone. David is a creator of the fantasy comic Of Stone. In addition, he was the artist on Crude from True Patriot Presents for Chapter House Comics, and on Mort from Source Point Press. During our chat, David talks about the background of the Kickstarter project Of Stone, along with the incentives for supporters. He offered insight into his comic book influences, in addition to explaining the tools he uses for his creative process. Before we go further, I encourage you to like this podcast on iTunes, and please leave a good rating. Also, check out the TrueNorthCountryComics.com website. Like us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, so you can discover a lot more information about Canadian comic book creators and supporters. And now, here's my chat with David A. Bishop about Of Stone.
So how is that Kickstarter project going for you?
It's nerve-wracking, to tell you the truth. It's the first Kickstarter, really, that I've done on my own. The previous one I did with Ricky Lima for a book called Deep Sea. Mm-hmm. And that was a few years ago. But Ricky really did the heavy lifting on that one. And I just sort of did whatever he told me to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how would you describe this project?
The best way to describe it personally is, I mean, this is just my baby. I did it back in 2012 or 2013. I did a one shot of this black and white comic. It was this fantasy story, because at the time I had been doing a zombie web comic. I mean, I really enjoyed doing it. It was really fun. But when I printed the books out and people come to the table, as soon as I said the word zombie, people just sort of glazed over. Okay. Their eyes just sort of glazed over, and yeah, they just started wandering off. And yeah, I didn't want to be pigeonholed as just that. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do something else, and I had this idea stewing, and I just started writing it. So every morning, you know, I get up at 5 a.m. and I'd draw a little, or when I'm on the train, I'd write out the script on the train on my phone and just write it down. And I just wrote and rewrote, and it was great, because, you know, I had an hour every day, half an hour there, half an hour back, to just go over it, write it, rewrite it, you know, read what I wrote the previous day or that morning and fix it. And eventually I got the book. And so I did this book and I was really proud of it, but it was just a one shot. That was it. Although I did plant a few hints in the story that there was a bigger world and more could happen, I didn't really follow that up until a couple of years later, when I said, okay, I'm just going to keep going with it because it's possible and it's something that I really want to do.
It's an interesting type of style, and I'm wondering if you could talk about some of your influences.
Some of my favorite artists are Bill Sienkiewicz is way up there. Bernie Wrightson, rest in peace. Mark Silvestri, I've always loved his work. Back when I was picking up his X-Men run, I would just stare at the panels forever, because I just love the way he drew. When he recently, well, a few years ago anyway, was doing the new Hulk series, I was picking that up because I loved that. And Will Sportacio, I mean, I love his stuff.
Definitely you make the panels come alive.
Awesome.
You've labeled this as book one, so you've already planned out some future stories?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I am. This book, it's this graphic novel, this trade paperback, is four issues. So the first four issues, and I'll have at least another two volumes. I feel like I have another two volumes in me, because the world is so big and there's so much to explore. I've planted all these little seeds throughout the story about where things can go, and, you know, just twisting and turning it along the way, just to keep it interesting for people.
One of the things I noticed that you've been doing lately to promote the Kickstarter is doing your work on Facebook Live with videos.
Yeah,
I'm wondering how that came about.
Well, I think it was through conversation with a fellow by the name of Bob Sally, who published some of his work through Source Point Press. He's done Salvagers. Right now he's got a book called Ogre Out with fellow Canadian Sean Daly. Really beautiful stuff. But the thing is, Bob's a really charismatic guy, and he knows a thing or two about a thing or two. So actually, when we were at Fan Expo, just this past Fan Expo, we were chatting, and he said, dude, you got to try, just do Facebook Live. Trust me, just do Facebook Live. I said, okay, I'll try it. And it's been really fun to sort of get in front of the camera and warts and all and just draw. Like, there was one sketch that I was doing and I had a big glob of ink just drop right on the paper. You know, it happens. And I dealt with it, and fortunately I was able to rescue the drawing some. But I always like watching people draw as well. I like seeing what they do and how they do things, how they hold the pen, how they move their hands. I just love watching that. And so I just thought I'd try it, because it's just a way to show people that, you know, stuff is happening. I am doing this. If you like this, this can be yours. This is all you have to do. Go to iamofstone.com and back the project at a sketch reward, and this, you could get this in the mail.
No, it's really cool. Like, it literally is seeing art come alive. Like, as you take a blank piece of paper and put something on it that just leaps off the page. That's tremendous.
Yeah, it's really fun for me too.
Cool. Well, let's talk a bit about the tools. I noticed on Facebook you indicated you were trying a new ink design for manga drawing, and I'm wondering if you could talk about some of the other tools you use for your creative work.
I mean, it's mostly just the Crocoil pen and ink that I work with when I'm not working digitally. I've tried markers. I've tried the brush. Markers are pretty fun. The nice thing about them is that you don't have to wait as long for the ink to dry. And the ink does dry relatively quickly, but when you're doing the markers, you don't really have to worry about smudging ink everywhere as much. And I've tried the brush, although I'm not very good at the brush, so that just might take a little bit more practice. I know there's some really great artists out there that work with brushes, like, you know, Michael Walsh and Adam Gorin and stuff, and I love seeing what they can do. But right now, I mean, just working with the pen and ink, that's my happy place.
What you mentioned the digital process. What's involved in that?
It's either Photoshop or Clip Studio that I'll do a lot of my work in for, say, something like True Patriot Presents with Crude. The timelines are pretty tight on that, and so I'll work digitally just to sort of speed up the process a little bit. It's just a little bit faster, because eventually you're going to have to scan the pages in. You're going to have to touch them up, you know, make sure the blacks are black and there's no artifacts anywhere. But working digitally, you really don't have to worry about that, because you cut all that extra time out, because it's already there. It's digital. It's ready to be colored.
Is it more precise, would you say, when you're doing digital work?
I don't feel like it right now. You know, it's still, like the brush, it's something that I'm not completely used to, but it is pretty fun. Unfortunately, you know, it's not a very mobile experience for me, because I have this big drawing tablet, or drawing monitor, really, on my desk. So I do like the traditional, because I can pick up and go sit in the living room and pencil for a little bit if I want, or, you know, if I'm out, I can sketch somewhere. But when I'm working digitally right now, my setup's in my studio at home, so I'm just sort of chained to the desk for that.
I think that we're still a little bit away from something that's completely accurate for doing that creative work.
Yeah, I mean, I'm seeing some people work on the Surface Pro and the iPad Pro that they're working, and, you know, it's really incredible. I can't believe that they're just using that to make these comics. But, you know, if I had one, maybe I'd get used to it and I could work like that. But I'd have to try it.
That's something for down the road. So what's your next event or exhibition or convention? What's next for you?
I'm not entirely sure. I think I'm going to be I may be doing the Oshawa Library and then Witcaf again. I definitely want to get back to Fan Expo and the March Toronto Comic Con, because those are always fun. It's always fun to get in there and just meet people and talk to people on both sides of the table. You know, it's really great when you have neighbors behind the table that you can just chat with in between visitors, and then the people that come to your table, you can meet some really great people that way. So yeah, I mean, I'm open to anything. If I were invited somewhere, the chances are I would not say no.
We didn't talk about some of the incentives for folks that want to get involved in your project and the Kickstarter. What's available for them?
Well, we have I have just the digital copies for people who, because there are some people that just they don't want the book, they want something mobile. So I mean, that's a really basic reward tier. And then of course we have the books. But above that, there's other tiers like having a head sketch or like a full sketch, which is like 7x9. Going above that, there's color, like painting with gouache over the sketches just to enhance it a little. But then I also have original art pages of Stone, and those are going pretty well. But then, you know, if there are people who really, really want other original art pages, there are higher tiers as well. So, you know, people can get artwork from work that isn't of Stone, like Stranger or Deep Sea or Crude from True Patriot, anything like that.
And I presume once this Kickstarter is completed, and I'm sure it will, of Stone, people will be able to see it at your upcoming events.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm feeling pretty positive about it. We're just floating just below 80% as of today. There's still 8 days to go, so there's a lot of work to do to try and get it out there and get people excited to pick up the book. But I'm feeling pretty positive about it, and hopefully we can get it printed. And, you know, when I do go out to the shows, I'll have this book that people can pick up and look through and say, hey, this is kind of cool. I want to pick it up. And I'll say, yes. One thing that I do offer on the campaign is just for checking out the page, you can go to iamofstone.com. And as you're reading through, you'll find that I've posted my original black and white one shot that I did as a PDF that you can download and read it for free. Just for going to the page, and you can read it and you can say, you know what, this is something that I think I could get into. And then from there, you can back the full 4-issue book.
Thanks to David for chatting with me. You discover more about David on Twitter at Renerd, that's R-E-N-E-R-D, and online at Renerd.com. David's Project of Stone can be found on Kickstarter at IamOfStone.com. And thanks to you for listening to the True North Country Comics Podcast. I invite you to subscribe, like, and comment on the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at True North Comics, on Facebook at facebook.com/TrueNorthCountryComics, and on Instagram at instagram.com/TrueNorthCountryComics. And please send your feedback to info@TrueNorthCountryComics.com. Thanks again for listening. Come back soon for another episode. Bye for now. True North Country Comics Podcast is copyright True North Country Comics, copyright 2018.